I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's February 18th, and we have a lot to talk about. I'm in Milan, Italy this week, attending a meeting of the International Progressive MS Alliance Scientific Steering Committee. And in just a couple of days, you can get fully briefed on the global drug discovery efforts that the Alliance is leading. But before we get to that, I want to take just a minute to share some pretty crazy statistics with you. You know, in addition to following MS research, I also have to follow what's going on in the podcasting world. And I probably don't have to tell you that 2019 was an unbelievably good year for podcasting. In fact, some podcast statistics from 2019 were just released last week. And it seems that last year, over 249,000 new podcasts were added to Apple Podcasts. And podcasters tend to keep an eye on Apple Podcasts because an awful lot of the time, it seems that more people listen to podcasts through Apple Podcasts than anywhere else. So, if you break down those 249,000 new podcasts, it turns out that a new podcast was launched every 2 minutes of every day in 2019. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just imagine that. And the reason I'm mentioning all of this is in spite of the now more than 800,000 podcasts that are available for you to listen to, you keep finding Real Talk MS. You're talking about Real Talk MS on social media. You're keeping the conversation going with me by email or direct messaging. And I feel completely humbled and grateful for your loyalty and support. So to each one of you in the Real Talk MS community, all I can say is thank you for your continued support, your continued encouragement, your continued participation, because you continue to amaze me. In just a couple of weeks, the National MS Society is hosting its annual Public Policy Conference, and the centerpiece of that conference is our Day on the Hill, when approximately 300 MS activists descend upon the halls of Congress, where we meet with our representatives and senators to discuss the legislative issues that are most important to people affected by MS. It's my honor to participate in this year's Public Policy Conference, and today, my guest is Barry Talenti, the Executive Vice President of Advocacy for the National MS Society. And we're going to be talking about the specific issues that are going to be discussed with our congressional representatives. And we're also going to talk about the value and the importance of advocacy. I've come to believe that advocating on behalf of the issues that affect you and your family is one of the very best things that anyone can do for themselves. And I believe that's true for a lot of different reasons. But before we get to my conversation with Barry Talenti, there are a few other things that you should know about. I want to make sure that I let you know that in just 2 days, on February 20th, the International Progressive MS Alliance is hosting a global webcast titled Discovering Life-Changing Treatments for People with Progressive MS. The webcast is going to take place at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's going to feature Professor Gianvito Martino along with some of the other leading scientists working with Professor Martino. The webcast is going to be hosted by my friend, Dr. Matthew Miles, the CEO of MS Research Australia and the Vice Chair of the International Progressive MS Alliance Executive Committee. You'll get a firsthand look at how the Alliance is working to really transform progressive MS research, and you'll hear about some of the remarkable work being done by the Drug Discovery Collaborative Research Network and the efforts of scientists around the world who are working together to find life-changing treatments to repair and protect the nervous system and promote remyelination in people with progressive MS. The webcast is free, and you'll find a link to the online registration in today's show notes. I know that I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but it's worth mentioning a few more times over the next few weeks. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, then you've heard me say that the MS Society is the largest private funder of MS research in the world. And beyond research, they offer amazing information and resources at their website. They advocate at the national and state level on behalf of everyone affected by MS. And they offer remarkable services for people affected by MS. This year, I'm participating in Walk MS because fundraising fuels our future. If you can help me out with a donation, I've created an online shortcut to make it really simple to get to the Walk MS fundraising page. Just visit realtalkms.com/walkms, and you'll find yourself at the MS Society's secure online donation page. Every dollar that we collect counts. Just imagine if everybody listening contributes just a little, it's going to add up to a lot. So if you're able, please type realtalkms.com/walkms into your browser and visit my Walk MS fundraising page. I'll include a link to that page in today's show notes, and I will say thank you in advance. Speaking of things worth mentioning, I want to share the results of a small stem cell therapy study. Researchers in Florence, Italy, conducted a study involving 26 people with moderate to severe secondary progressive MS who showed signs of clinical or MRI inflammatory activity and who underwent hematopoietic stem cell transplantation, or HSCT. And 5 years after the procedure, 42% of the participants were stable with no further disability or MS progression. And 10 years after the stem cell transplantation, 30% of the participants still had not experienced further disability or progression. In another 10 participants, their MS progressed once and then stabilized, and only 6 participants experienced progression to the point of severe disability. This is encouraging news, and it's already telling us a few things. First off, it's a great reminder that stem cell therapy is not a magic wand, as some of these fraudulent stem cell clinic operators would have you believe. From the results of just this small study, you can see that different people are going to respond differently to stem cell therapy. If you'd like to check out the details of this study, I'll include a link in today's show notes. And I'll also remind you that a large study is just getting underway in the US and the UK, and this study is going to compare the overall effectiveness of HSCT, that's hematopoietic stem cell transplantation, with the most effective disease-modifying therapies. To be eligible to participate in this study, you have to be between the ages of 18 and 55 and have continued relapses or active MRI while taking MS prescription medication. Participants will be enrolled in one of 19 sites in the United States and the United Kingdom, and they'll be followed for 6 years after being randomly assigned to receive either HSCT or one of the high-efficacy disease-modifying therapies in the study. Now, if you'd like to check out more information, see a list of these specific study locations, or find out if you're eligible to participate in the study, I'll include a link to that study's website in today's show notes. They say that the back of the eye is the front of the brain, and that's why doctors use eye motion to help diagnose and monitor the status of a variety of neurological conditions. And a tech startup called C-Light Technologies has unveiled a new eye-tracking application that represents a quantum leap ahead in this technology. C-Light describes themselves as a neurotech and AI, or artificial intelligence, company, and they've developed a non-invasive 10-second procedure that will give a neurologist detailed data and insight into the status of their patient's MS progression. So here's how it works. Using the C-Light retinal measurement instrument, your doctor would administer a non-invasive 10-second retinal scan. You won't have to have your eyes dilated with eye drops, and you can even blink during the 10-second scan. Now, that scan measures your eye motion at the cellular level. That's 1/100th the size of a human hair, and 120 times more accurate than any other pupil tracking device on the market. The system actually records a video of that scan, and that video is then analyzed using advanced artificial intelligence that then produces a summary of actionable information for your care team. Better data means more precise treatment, more proactive treatment, and better outcomes for people living with MS. Initially, C-Lite's breakthrough technology is focused on monitoring MS symptoms to assess the effectiveness of disease-modifying therapy. Now, the company hopes to expand their neurotech offering for use in monitoring Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, ALS, and concussions. If you'd like to learn more about this breakthrough diagnostic tool, I'll include a link to the company's website in today's show notes. I should point out that the new diagnostic technology that C-Lite has developed is the result of research that was partially funded by grants from the National Institutes of Health. And increasing the budget for the NIH is just one of the issues that MS activists will be talking about with their members of Congress in just 2 weeks. In a moment, I'm going to be joined by Barry Talenti, the Executive Vice President of Advocacy for the National MS Society, and we're going to be discussing each of the legislative issues that about 300 MS activists will be taking to Capitol Hill on March 4th during the MS Society's Day on the Hill. If you're a regular Real Talk MS listener, then you already know how important I think it is for people affected by MS to advocate on our own behalf. Aside from influencing the legislation that directly impacts our well-being and the well-being of our families, the act of advocacy itself is incredibly empowering. That's why I'm so pleased that my guest today is Barry Talenti. Barry is the Executive Vice President of Advocacy for the National MS Society. And Barry and I get to have this annual conversation as we approach the National MS Society's Public Policy Conference, which takes place this year on March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th in Washington, D.C. So once again, welcome back to the podcast, Barry.
Well, thanks, John. Thanks so much for having me and to talk about the important work of the Public Policy Conference.
Well, for the benefit of everyone who wasn't with us when we did this a year ago, can you tell us a little bit about what the Public Policy Conference is, what actually happens there, and why it's so important?
So the Public Policy Conference is the National MS Society's opportunity to bring about 300 people from the MS community from all across the country, bring those people to the Washington, D.C. area and provide about a day and a half of in-depth training on our public policy priorities, and then take everyone up to Capitol Hill to visit with their members of Congress and staff. It's really exciting and energizing to have all of those people in the same room. Everyone brings their orange so you can see everyone across Capitol Hill, and it's that opportunity to really make a mark on our policy priorities. It sort of sets the stage almost for what we're going to be advocating for throughout the rest of the year. And so what we like to say is, you know, the Public Policy Conference is just one point in time and an important one, but we have to keep up the advocacy work all year round. And that's what we expect from people who travel to D.C. for the conference.
Speaking of visiting Capitol Hill, it's no secret that our political parties are perhaps more polarized than ever before. Does that partisan divide have an effect on advocacy?
John, the partisan divide certainly is felt, but I think what we know is that MS doesn't discriminate based on a political party, right? So people get MS, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, conservative or liberal, whether they believe our government is doing a good job or not. None of that has an impact on who's going to get multiple sclerosis. And so no matter what's happening within the political realm and the parties maybe fighting with each other or digging in their heels, our job is to make sure that they understand what it is that people affected by MS across the country need. And it's their job to do what they can to make sure people get what they need to live their best lives.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that job that, they have to do for us. What are the priority issues that MS activists will be talking about with our legislators during this year's Day on the Hill?
Yeah, and it is a big year going into a presidential election. So what it does mean from the political landscape is that there's probably a shortened time frame for Congress to do their work because members of Congress are also up for re-election and they want to make sure they get back home to their districts to campaign. So we're looking at some priorities that we think have some momentum coming into them and also, of course, that will be really meaningful for people with MS. So the first issue that we'll be talking about is one that we took to the Hill for the first time last year, and it's ending surprise medical billing. And so what that means is that people can often find themselves seeing an out-of-network provider, someone who's not covered by their health insurance, even though they don't realize that. Maybe you go to an in-network hospital, but there is an anesthesiologist or someone who works in the emergency department that's not actually covered by your health insurance. And the end result of that is that people can get a very large surprise medical bill that they then become responsible for. So we want to end that practice. And there's a lot of bipartisan support around ending surprise medical billing and making sure that patients are left out of the challenges with it. And so insurers and healthcare providers are going to need to figure this out. And Congress is working to come up with a compromise solution on that right now. Our second priority is to continuing and increase funding for MS research priorities. So we had an amazing success last year where we had a $10 million increase in federal funding for the MS research program in the Department of Defense. So that brought it from $6 million to $16 million. This year, we're going to go back and ask for $20 million. We're also going to ask for increased funding for the National Institutes of Health and for a sustained investment of $5 million for the National Neurological Conditions Surveillance System at the Centers for Disease Control. So all of those funding requests together sort of combine our MS research funding bucket. We're also going to be asking for some solutions around the challenges people have accessing their medications. And so we're going to call on Congress to pass legislation that will lower high drug prices and lower the high out-of-pocket costs that individuals face. So, you know, this is another area where there's a lot of bipartisan agreement that something needs to happen. There's not quite as much agreement on what that something is, but it's incredibly important for people with MS to be able to share with their elected officials how high drug prices and insurance challenges and out-of-pocket costs are really detrimental to them being able to stay on their medication. So that's going to be a big focus of ours as well. And then finally, the fourth bucket that we're going to be asking for is related to disaster management and relief. And so we know that people with disabilities are 2 to 4 times more likely to be critically or fatally injured in a disaster. And that's not okay. And there are some steps that can happen to mitigate that in a big way. And so there's two pieces of legislation, the READY Act, which has to do with the preparation, response, recovery, and mitigation of disasters. And it simply looks to actually involve people who are older or who live with a disability on a commission to help with the planning of it. And then there's some other things, but a lot of it is focused on let's actually include these people in planning so that we can figure out what it is that needs to happen when we get to a disaster situation. And the second bill would ensure continuity of care and access to Medicaid services when individuals are actually forced to evacuate their home across state lines. So making sure that they're able to maintain their health and independence during and after disasters. So it sounds like a lot, But those are the issues that we're going to be focused on at the public policy conference and throughout the year.
Didn't we see a lot of people at a loss as to what to do, where to go, or how to claim Medicaid benefits after Hurricane Katrina, when people were evacuated out of New Orleans into Texas, into Houston?
Yes, I think that we did. And I think that's what the Disaster Relief Medicaid Act seeks to rectify. So, you know, it's traumatizing all the way around to have to evacuate one's home and potentially lose everything, and often leave someone's medication or other things that they need for healthcare behind. And so it's important to be able to maintain continuity of care and services for individuals, whether that's being able to get a refill of their prescription, even if they just got one, right? We know that that can be difficult. If you refilled your prescription last week, it's very hard to get a new dose the following week, but that should be able to happen in a disaster situation, as well as other care and health services that people need.
You know, as I often share with my listeners, and I've talked to you about this, I find that advocating on behalf of your own needs and the needs of others affected by MS is just an amazing, personally empowering experience. I'm wondering, what do you see as a takeaway for the attendees at this year's public policy conference?
There's a number of takeaways for people who come to participate in the public policy conference. I mean, one is just the energy that people get from being in the room with their advocacy peers, with people who think like them, who engage like them in advocacy, who understand the power that advocacy has to bring solutions. And people are making connections across the conference like you wouldn't believe, and they stay in touch with each other throughout the year. You know, another takeaway is really people feeling more knowledgeable and confident in advocating for these issues, both at our day on the Hill at the public policy conference, but also throughout the year. So people can continue that outreach. They can connect with their member offices again and again to sort of check in. Where are you on this issue? Do you need other information? You know, I talked to someone else with MS who has a personal experience with this. Let me share that with you. So those are just a few of the takeaways that that we see people have all the time. And they just really get energized and excited to stay involved with advocacy and that sense of empowerment that you talked about, John. Advocacy really is a place where people understand that they can have a direct role in finding solutions for themselves and others living with MS.
And I guess that's why I spend a lot of time encouraging everyone to get involved in advocacy. What should someone do if they're listening to us right now and they're interested in becoming an MS activist or finding out more about it?
Well, there's a couple of things that people can do immediately. One, you can go to Twitter and follow the Society's public policy team there. At MS Activist is our Twitter account. Two, you can join the MS Activist Network, and you'll get electronic updates on our issues and requests for you to take action. And you can do that through the MS Society website under the Get Involved section. And third, we will be having a training call on February 18th. For people who want to hear more about these issues. And so people can either join that call or listen to a recording of it and find some of the information on our public policy issues at the Public Policy Conference website, which is nationalmssociety.org/PPC.
And what can people do in the way of advocacy if they aren't going to physically be with us this year in Washington, D.C.? How can they take part in this and support the advocacy effort overall from their home?
It's a great point, John. We have a lot of different ways for people to engage, even if they're not coming to D.C. So social media is one way. You can follow the Twitter account again, and people will see lots of their colleagues and peers across the country who start posting on social media as well. And we'll also have an action alert, a message out to anyone within the activist network and on social media who wants to take a message directly to their elected official through our action alert system. So there's an opportunity for everyone virtually to weigh in and make the same asks of their members of Congress that those who are in D.C. in person will be doing.
You know, I have the opportunity to attend a pretty long list of MS research conferences and meetings throughout the year, but I always find myself really looking forward to the public policy conference because I guess unlike all the other events that I find myself at, this is the conference where every attendee truly makes a difference. And I guess maybe that's part of the point of advocacy. It's just a remarkable experience being together with a few hundred passionate, articulate, energized difference makers. So I'm looking forward to spending time with you and all of the MS activists at the National MS Society's Public Policy Conference that gets underway in just a couple of weeks in Washington, D.C. And Barry, I want to take this opportunity to thank you and your entire team for what I know is just a huge effort that goes into making the Public Policy Conference such an incredibly fulfilling and personally empowering experience for every attendee. And thanks for spending a few minutes talking with me today.
Well, thank you, John, and thanks to all the MS activists for everything that you do throughout the year.
This week's episode of Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And if you have a friend or family member who might also enjoy listening to the podcast, you can share this episode with them by suggesting they point their web browser to realtalkms.com/129. That's realtalkms.com/129. And you'll find that link in today's show notes so you can easily copy and paste it right into your email or text. Please remember to take just a minute to visit realtalkms.com/walkms. And if you're able, please support me with a donation toward Walk MS. I've never asked for any financial support for the podcast, and I never will, but the MS Society is the largest private funder of MS research in the world, and I think supporting their efforts just makes a lot of sense. So I'm inviting you to help. All you have to do is visit realtalkms.com/walkms, and you'll find that link in today's show notes. And don't forget to visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app to your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the easiest way for you to connect to the podcast. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes, and it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. So I hope you'll take a moment and download the app today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.